And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batson, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at TipTV.co.uk. The date, Monday the 8th of December. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport, live from the heart of London, St Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term training. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. OK, welcome back. Let's talk to Mr. Tom Elliott, the International Investment Strategist at De Vere Group. Very good morning to you, Tom. You're a Leicester City football fan, aren't you? They are at the bottom of the table, I'm afraid to tell you.
It won't be for long. By the end of the season, we'll be above Arsenal.
And why do you want to be above Arsenal?
Because I'm going to post them a whole load of interesting substances.
Wonderful. Right, let's talk about the Eurozone. You wanted to talk today about basically Greece and should they get the final tranche of the bailout package, and if they demand an extension, it would put basically everything back on the agenda, i.e. Greece leaving the Euro. What's your take on it?
Well, you'd have thought that we're coming to the end of 240 billion euros worth of bailout. This is the final 1.8 billion. You'd have thought the Eurozone, Eurogroup of ministers that are meeting in Brussels today would be glad to just hand over the cheque and say bye-bye. But of course, they don't want Greece coming back next year saying, oh, actually, we miscalculated our budget for 2015-16 that was passed last night in Athens. Can we have some more? And so they're saying, we're not actually going to give you the last 1.8 billion until you redraw your budget for next financial year. And that includes more cuts on pensions, better tax collecting. They still haven't mastered the art of tax collecting, particularly when it comes to the elites, and general public spending cuts. And all this is deeply unpopular. And so the Eurogroup are saying, what we will do is extend it, the programme. So instead of winding up this EFS programme in December, as was planned with this last 1.8, we'll give it to you perhaps halfway through next year. The Greeks are saying, look, if we can't have it in December, how about 2 weeks into January? And the government needs it as soon as possible, because Samaras, the prime minister, he's been going on about, yeah, we must get the foreigners off our back, especially the Germans. The Greeks I was going to say love-hate relationship with Germany, but actually historically there's not much love, it's more hate. And they're regarded as sort of German symbol of dominance and almost occupation, this whole bailout system. So Samaras has promised the Greeks they'll have got it all off their back by the end of December. That's not going to happen. They're in danger of losing a vote of confidence in February over something completely different. And then this is where it gets really interesting. If Syriza, who were the next biggest party in the last election, were to gain power, the coalition government only has a 5-seat majority in an election, Syriza could well take Greece out of the Euro. It has policies that are so wacky. They include reverting all pensions and public sector wages back to pre-crisis level, which would make Greece hopelessly uncompetitive. And Greece would probably face a wave of selling on its bond market, which 10 years are already in the 7-8% area. And it wouldn't be able to raise money on the capital market. It'll have to leave, probably default. And then you've got talk of other countries leaving. And we're back to the scary days of a few years ago. So it's a procedural point, about 1.8 billion on the surface. But if I can use the analogy, it could be a Trojan horse for a straw that breaks the camel's back for something far more significant if the Eurogroup don't cave in today and basically say, here's the 1.8 and we're sorry we doubted your figures for the 2015-16 budget.
But if Zach was here, would he just say they're going to fudge it and let it all go through? Because they won't want the...
Correct. But there's a dance that goes on. The German representative, Schäuble, will have to stick up for the German view, which is all this money is just going down the drain. Why are they... why are we even giving them this? There's a lot of reluctance in Germany over the whole way the EFSF is structured.
Right.
It includes a guarantee from the German taxpayer. These bonds won't default. Then the Greeks have to go through a dance of showing how they browbeat the evil Germans. So there is a performance. And interestingly, you've got people in Greece, I think quite rightly, saying, look, we owe an awful lot of money, partly because we've been buying enormous quantities of French and German military hardware over the last decade. 1.6 billion on three submarines from Germany, two of which list when you try and float them, and they're not giving our money back. Funny enough, that's about the same as this last tranche of money. So it's very, very bitter and political.
Which the markets obviously won't like at all.
No, if the markets, if they get the 1.8 billion, if Greece comes out of the meeting today with that cheque, everybody will breathe a sigh of relief. If it's a moderate extension for, say, into mid-January, the markets, I think that's probably what's priced in. If the Eurogroup say, actually, you're not getting anything until halfway through next year, the markets will tank because they'll be pricing in a Syriza victory. And I should add, it gets really scary because this thing gives life to anti-European populist politics throughout Europe that want out of the Eurozone, whether it's National Front in France, wacky groups in Italy, other parts, and then even non-Eurozone countries like in Sweden and the UK, where you've got anti-populist, anti-immigrant, anti-EU groups. So, we could easily see some core countries saying, let's leave. Well, last time we had Greece coming up for, I think it was 2012, the possibility of them leaving. It was the Finns who looked like they could be next if Greece left, because they don't want to be part of a group that's falling apart. They can see, now that Nokia's fallen on hard times, it's reckoned the marker, if they reinvented that, would devalue against the euro, and suddenly the Finnish economy would kick off. So it could have some surprising repercussions and not very pleasant ones.
It's amazing how little has changed over the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, we've probably had some strength in the intervening period in other equity markets, which has taken investors' eye off the ball. But actually, in terms of the underlying fractions that there certainly are, it seems like very little's changed indeed.
I mean, I approach this from sort of an institutional economics view, and that is, you don't have a functioning economy if you don't have the rule of law and solid institutions within sort of government, in the loosest word, that are separate. You've got to have a separate executive, legislative and judiciary. Greece doesn't. It's more akin to Argentina and a Southern American state, where it's the same families, the same names, the same elites who control everything. And this is the underlying problem of Greece. They haven't gone far enough on reforming the institutions. So even if they were to devalue, leave the Eurozone, they'd have a little fillip in exports, but it'd be no better than Britain, that spent most of its post-war history devaluing. All it allowed it to do was to carry on with bad management and bad practices. That's what would happen to Greece unless they undergo a total change in their institutions. Mm. And we're not really seeing that. Syriza is not going to reform institutions in a wholesome way, to put it bluntly.
Okay, Tom Elliott, international investment strategist, De Vere Group. Thank you for scaring the pants off me. I don't know about Richard, but here we go again, seems to be.
Sounds like
a football song.
Absolutely.
Tom, thank you very much for that.
Pleasure.
Let's take a very quick break, and then we're going to go into an interview I did with Mr. Robert Munro, the head of business development at Hummingbird Resources. I did that late last week at the Money and Minds show in London. So we'll go straight into that after the break.